Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome. I tell you, I am excited. I just got off the phone with Dr. Grant, and hopefully she will call in to the radio broadcast. I did give her the number, but I can always call her. That's the wonderful thing about this type of technology. We have the ability from the studio to call up a guest, but I was just talking with her, and she was absolutely still on fire. This is 2 days later after the Women Leaders and Entrepreneurs Summit and Business Expo in Newark, New Jersey, and I believe that this is, and I know she will be dialing in just a moment, and she's going to, she was on the phone this morning. She's calling me first thing in the morning to tell me how, you know, charged up she was and how on fire she was by the women in the room, you know. But, you know, Dr. Grant has done a lot of study about how there is a type of healing, a type of happiness that exudes from women. And so, you know, a lot of people who love to focus on the fact that of what women can't do together because of certain personalities and behaviors and the cattiness, and a lot of people attribute that especially to African American women, you know, the pulling down one another, the not supporting each other. Dr. Grant has done studies on the opposite side, showing that women should be able to work together, and that, and here's Dr. Grant right now, so I'm just going to pull her in. Dr. Grant, good morning, and
good morning.
To the Lalisa Williams Show.
Oh, thank you so much, Lalisa. I certainly enjoyed your expo on Saturday. That was an eye-opener and an empowering situation for women. It was wonderful.
You know, and that's what we want to do with Dr. Grant. Yeah. We want to help women. And yes. I know you came on fire. Mm. You were so on fire Saturday.
Yes. Yeah, because I was inspired by the other women who spoke before me. What they did was they were so full of their journey, because most people don't understand that your journey is so important and that you qualify your journey by becoming a testimony, a walking, living, breathing testimony to the experiences of up and down. And they, what they did was they gave us the up journey, not the down journey. And that's what I loved about it. Because
wow.
I gave them the seven ups for business success. So your women were telling us about their up journey. And it was so inspiring. And you just said something that's so important that I wrote about in my book, The Best Kind of Loving, that we've got to get rid of this believing that women cannot work together, that we're catty, that we're limited, and we're always criticizing one another. That's not true. I mentioned a study from Stanford University that Dr. Alan Sotsberg has come up with, that actually women coming together and empowering one another actually changes your body chemistry. Did you hear me?
I heard you.
Yeah, that you produce more oxytocin, serotonin, which decreases stress levels in your body. Actually, chemistry changes in your physiological makeup when you come together with your particular. He started his lecture out, Dr. Alan Sotsberg, Stanford University, California. He started his lecture out, and everyone thought it was a joke. He said, the best thing a man can do is to be married to a woman.
All right.
The best thing a woman can do is to network and be around and always gather together with her sisters. He said, because it's good for your health, both psychologically and physiologically. Now, there's some strong, Lalisa, that's some strong data.
That is. And I went and looked some of that up after you had told me that about 4 or 5 months ago when we were discussing. And I went to do the research, and I said, wow, how powerful. And so this was that was last year. When you
last year I brought it up, yes.
You brought that up, and I went and I did the research. And so that's what gave me the fuel and the fire to go forth with this event, even though sometimes there were, you know, some, you know, how people can, oh, we don't need to go, and I don't, this is not, you know. But I had that behind me, that research that you had told me about, that data. That said, I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this for women's health. So for some people, at least you didn't have a health piece in it because, you know, you didn't have anyone there to talk about health. Because the event itself was about health because of what you're saying.
Right, absolutely. But let me tell you, you said something just a few minutes ago before I came on, is that we need to learn how also to compliment one another. Okay, to see the good in a sister and what she has done in her journey. And one of the things we have done is what I call plantation psychology, which told us for centuries that if you progressed, then that means I'm put down. Well, I'm your psychologist, and that is totally a lie. And it is incorrect, and you were taught that psychology on the plantation when you were enslaved. It was the way the slave master developed this, what I call negative psychology, stereotypical psychology, so we could keep an eye on one another and play crabs in the barrel. If you make too much progress, I will pull you down. And that was to keep you in your enslaved mind. So therefore, you've got to get rid of that, brothers and sisters, because the progress report says that we must cherish the progress of our brothers and sisters because it enhances our psychological journey and it empowers us to see Obama in that White House. Not to criticize. See, when you criticize what you're saying, you're not saying anything about the sister you're criticizing. If you criticize Lalisa, you're not saying anything about Lalisa. You're saying a lot about yourself. You're saying, I don't care anything about myself. I don't appreciate myself. And I'm telling myself I'm going nowhere. That's the message you're giving. Because if you can't find the good in your brother and sister, you haven't found it in yourself.
And I know you did say that on Saturday as
yeah,
well.
I absolutely did. That's
and
right.
And those women, that's why they left there so empowered.
You know what, Lalisa, I've discovered? Everything I found and complimented in other people and everything I admired in other women, I now find it in myself.
You know,
did you hear me?
When
I was a young girl, I would always admire some woman because she became a minister, because women weren't ministers when I was growing up. And if I found a woman minister, I would admire her and want to talk to her and blah, 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 and found out what some of her traits were. Dr. Dorothy Height, when I was a young girl, I admired her. You know, she was head of the National Council of Negro Women, Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune, who founded a college. But, you know, when I kept admiring these women as I was growing up, eventually, Lalisa, I've discovered those things in myself.
Mm.
See, that's the secret. There it is.
Wow.
There it is. What you keep admiring in other women, other sisters, what you keep admiring instead of envying.
God.
Eventually, you're going to discover it in yourself, because you cannot see something in someone else that's not somewhere in you.
Mm. Wow.
It's a marvelous concept. And Lalisa, keep on teaching that concept, please.
Yes, ma'am. I take those as marching orders from you.
Amen.
And so absolutely. And, you know, we talked about that even as well when I very first met you in the small chapel at my church, Franklin St. John.
That's right.
Felt that something transferring because of the things my mother had told me and the things I had seen my mother doing and some of the things I didn't get to do when she passed away at 70.
That's why I like your journey, because your journey is full of what I call stories of your journey. And please keep telling the stories of your journey. Because these little anecdotal stories are little nuggets of progress reports. That's what they are. I'm going to tell you straight out what they are. Whenever you tell these little stories, they're progress reports on your journey. And they're progress reports, reports of inspiration. You're inspiring people without knowing it.
I just thank God for, you know, Angela Vett, you know, when you know, helping coming together and helping to bring forth, you know, such a powerful event in the city of Newark where, you know, women sometimes, you know, have to drive, you know, a lot further.
Yes. And I call you the Williams sisters.
Yeah, I know. People were going around saying, okay, where's your sister?
Because, you know, I think we all have a connection that we really are all sisters. And I'm not talking about biology. I'm talking about spirituality.
That's
you know?
Right. That's
we're all really sisters. There's no doubt about it. And interestingly enough, both your names begin with Will, W-I-L-L. I will.
Right.
I will. And you do. Amen.
Well, you know, my mother always said that when I was little. Where's that Lalisa? She's out there doing something, you know.
That's right. I will. She's out there doing something. Absolutely. Lalisa, I think you've started on some kind of magnificent journey. I think what you've done, you've picturized something in your head, in your mind, like Dr. Norman Vincent Peale says. He said, you must see it. You must picturize it to actualize it. And I think what you've done is you've picturized something in your head that God has given you and you alone, and I think you're on your journey to actualize it. I really do.
Wow.
It's very exciting. The reason I know you're on this journey to actually, this thing is going to be actualized and it's going to be so big, you're going to be confounded. I just get that feeling because the energy around you is so powerful, it's like contagious, okay? You have so much spiritual energy, and that's what propels us forward when we have disappointments and failures and whatnot. If you keep your spiritual energy going, it will still propel you forward. It will lean you forward rather than leaning you backward, okay? And that's what you have, that energy, that spiritual energy.
So, and, you know, and Dr. Grant, and one of the things that I was always looking forward to was, okay, where is the best, you know, nurturing environment for that kind of energy? Is it the
right.
university? Is it corporate? Is it leadership? Is it the church? Where is the best environment for that kind of energy?
That energy, yes. Yeah. But
you know,
I
is
think,
it community service? You know, where?
Yeah, yeah. And I think I think you found your direction. Because, see, I think business is the answer to our financial, economic, suppressed education problem. I think business is the answer, okay? Even they talk about business in the Bible. And most people don't even know that business is even discussed. And my husband was chairman of the Department of Business Administration at Nyack College in New York, and now he's vice president of Somerset Christian College in New Jersey. And he keeps telling Christian colleges that they've got to teach business courses.
Wow.
Because business is what propels the message of Christianity forward. It's actually it's actually business, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I think you've stepped on the right platform, business.
Hmm? You know what? I can see that because I remember in the one lady, the first speaker, I know you didn't get a chance to hear her, but
mm-hmm.
you met Mary Ann Cotchett.
All right. I don't know. Who was she?
Remember her, the lady with the real, real short hair.
Oh, yes, 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 yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. I remember her now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was one of my business professors at Fairleigh Dickens.
Oh, wonderful.
That's how we met. And so when I was taking business classes, and then I kept saying, asking, God, why do you have me with a business major? I'm supposed to be in seminary. Why do you have me working toward an MBA? This is a lot of money and a lot of time and credits. But, you know, God was pretty much silent through the whole time. He never told me to, you know, quit. He never said, you know, it was just like, you know, in other words, just keep going.
Listen, Lalisa, now I see who you are. You're a trailblazer, okay? You're trailblazing spirituality and the business concept in spirituality. Because, see, everybody is not like, what's his name, who... is now in prison for almost 100 years, Bernie Madoff, who made off with everybody's money, okay, with a Ponzi scheme, right? He has given business a bad name. Lalisa Williams, ladies and gentlemen, is going to give business a good name in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
There it is. It just came to me. There it is. Bernie Madoff gave business a bad name. Lalisa Williams is going to revitalize that and give business the good name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, because the Bible tells me a good name is rather to be had, hallelujah, than riches.
My God. Well, you know what? You're my psychologist.
That's
and
right.
my therapist.
That's
God's
right.
Blood.
So
I take that, and I know, and I know it was no accident, you know, that God had me to meet you. Like we used to say, me and my friend Denise in Cleveland, it's a Holy Ghost hookup.
Mm-hmm. And some people think that God shouldn't be in business. I said, well, let me tell you what's the matter with business. God is not in it. Hello, in the United States. That's the problem.
That's the big problem.
That's why you create people like Bernie Madoff. Because God is not in it.
That's right.
Hello.
And that's why God, he always provides a solution for his people, though.
Where do they think all their riches come? Out of the sky blue air or somewhere? Everything comes from God. Your breath of life and everything after that comes from God. I'm sorry, listeners. You have to pay attention. And why do they have that on American money? In God we trust. It's written on your money.
Mm.
That's what it says. It didn't say in God we trust in the bank, because the banks had problems that the president had to pull them up out of.
Wow.
So in God we trust. In banks we didn't trust. Oh, and banks we did trust, and we got in trouble.
There we go. That's so. Now, what was that you said about the SBA? You said, not the SBA, but the federal government. You said the
budget. There's a budget. There's a 2013 budget. The White House has a 2013 budget that they are going to expand in 2013. This is why you're going to have to vote, listeners, because the budget is already in place for 2013 for small businesses. 2013 White House budget supports $16 billion in loan guarantees under the Small Business Administration. Listen, listeners, what did I say? $16 billion with a B. So the Small Business Administration, under the Small Business Administration, $14 billion will be in term loans. Did you hear me? Term loans for small businesses. What did I say? $14 billion will be in term loans for small businesses. $2 billion will be in revolving lines of credit for small businesses. My message to you is release your power, claim your money.
Wow.
The loan guarantees are waiting for you, but you're going to have to vote to get it in the 2012 November election. And you know who to vote for because you know who has the 2013 White House budget waiting for you. It's already in play. So I'm telling you, listeners, you now know how to vote. You're supposed to vote for the money.
All right now.
Mm-hmm. If the money's waiting for you, I'd vote for the money. Hello.
What did somebody say? Was that you? Somebody said something about being broke. Oh, you said poverty is bad for your health.
Oh, poverty is bad for you, but somebody said, what did they say about broke? I want to remember that line because that was a wonderful, broke is not cute. Hello.
that was Pam Knight.
Pam
I
Knight.
Believe.
Pam Knight. Pam Knight at the conference said, broke is not cute.
My goodness.
Okay. Oh, I love that. I got to write that one down. And the other one they said, and smart is the new rich.
That was the same woman. She has a program, Pam Knight, down in the Washington, D.C. area. She traveled all the way up here just to deliver that message. I met her on Facebook. She is the result of social media networking. People say it doesn't work. They say social media marketing doesn't work. And unfortunately, we're going to show them how it does work.
Broke is not cute. Do you know how profound that is? Broke is not. Let me write her name down again. What's her name again?
Yeah, her name is Pam.
Pam?
Knight, N-I-G-H-T.
And she's from where?
She is in the Washington, D.C. area, but I can inbox her and inbox you on Facebook. And
Okay, please, I would love to talk to her again. Because
smart
ladies and gentlemen, is the new rich. You know what I like about Michelle Obama? She models smart.
Come on now.
Uh-huh. The girl, the young woman, our first lady, she models smart. She was over in England, and she was telling the children in the schools over in London, she was telling them that smart is okay. I was so happy to hear her say that because she was smart in school, you know. She was at Princeton University, and she was even in elementary school. Michelle Obama was a smart little girl, okay, and her mother promoted smart, being smart in her house. So she had a smart mama, too. Her mama didn't go to college, but you don't have to go to college to be smart. Hello? Listen to me, audience. You don't have to go to college to be smart. You can have a trade and be smart, okay? You can clean house and be smart because I grew up a whole lot of black women who were very smart from the backwoods of Alabama, okay? They all were property owners. They were never on welfare. They were smart women. Born in the 1800s, they all my great aunt. Okay, so you don't have to be totally with a college degree and be smart. You can have a farm and be smart. Okay, so my message to your listeners is: smart is the new rich, according to Pam Knight in Washington D.C. God bless her. Okay,
Pam Knight. She has a whole instructional training and message for that. And so we have, I'm telling you, it was amazing. And I got to church on Sunday down at Metropolitan Baptist Church, where four of the women who were at the summit on Saturday were part of that ministry. We're part of what they call the employment ministry.
What Metropolitan? And, where?
Down in Newark on Springfield Avenue.
Oh, that's where you were Sunday?
That's where I was, yes. I wasn't at Franklin because I'm a part of their employment ministry.
Oh, as a matter of fact, someone mentioned the fact that they were at, I spoke for them 2 years ago for their women's ministry, and the person who was there with that 2 years ago was at your conference yesterday at Metropolitan. I met someone at your conference from Metropolitan yesterday.
Because there was you saw her yesterday, huh?
Yeah, because she reminded me that she was at the conference that I spoke for at Metropolitan 2 years ago for their women's ministry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, because they do have a very powerful women's ministry.
Very powerful.
Yes, with Dr. Jefferson. Oh, that's absolutely right.
And Mrs. Jefferson's a powerful woman. I mean, she's the one who invited me.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You know who else she invited once? That lady is really, really amazing. You're right.
She's an amazing woman.
Do you know the woman? I think her last name is Daniels. She was the first black woman to own a bunch of Burger Kings.
No, but I've heard of her. No, but I've never met her. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, she was a speaker 1 year at Metropolitan. They had a...
And who was the woman you had there yesterday? Was the owner of something big? She had on a beautiful outfit, and
You're talking about the lady who owns, the name of her company is like Big Boss or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's Audrey Bell Carney, a sweetheart. Yes, her company. She does she did all of the branding stuff.
The woman who owns something inside of the airport.
Oh, that was Lorna Brissett Romans. Lorna owns Golden Crust. She's from Jamaica.
That's Golden Crust.
And they're a chain. You know, they're
okay. Golden
phenomenal.
Crust.
She's Lyons Avenue.
Lyons Avenue.
Over by the Pathmark, and that's still Newark, though.
By the Pathmark.
Yes, and she works hard behind the scenes and all that good Jamaican food. She also was able to get inside to Newark Airport. She's in Terminal A. She's been in Terminal A a couple of years now. But I'm going to be doing some marketing. She wants me to help her with marketing her business.
She's a marvelous woman.
She's fabulous. I met her, believe it or not, some years ago when she was applying to when I used to be a recruiter for Continental Airlines. And
you know
she
what?
Was
there should have been 1,000 women at that conference Saturday.
Yeah, that
really should have been at Union Hall in Newark on Alling Street. Now your listeners are going to be aware because we're discussing the conference and what happened. See, I've been to conferences where there are 5,000 people in the women in the audience, and I think that's what I'm projecting for you. Your next conference is going to have thousands of women because I think our discussion this morning is going to revitalize their thinking. Because somebody said at your conference, you are your brand. Who said that? Whoever said that is so powerful. You are your brand, BRAND, because everybody has a brand.
I think it was Audrey. I'll double check. I think it was Audrey Bell Carney, but I'll double check because Audrey does a lot with brand. But it could have been Francine Humphrey. It could have because a lot of them are business professionals and leaders. And it could have been Marianne Katya. But if you heard it, it had to be somebody who was
right.
I think it was Audrey.
I think it was Audrey too. I don't think it was Francine. Francine was a wonderful speaker too. The one from Virginia Beach.
Yeah, I'll be with her. She has a women's leadership conference on the 15th of September.
You had a crop of women there that represent for me represent the 21st century because you know I designated at your conference on Saturday, August the 25th. That is the date that I designated. This is the century of the woman. I said that in my opening remarks, and I'm going to give a date to it. It's August 25th, 2012, at the Women's Expo and Leadership Conference sponsored by the Williams Sisters. And at that date, I designated it the Century of the Woman. And
wow.
I believe that with all my heart. But I'm glad I have a date and a conference to attach it to.
You
I
do.
I made that announcement. Mm-hmm. And
amen.
I really mean that. Because something in my spirit keeps telling me that. And I said, Gwendolyn, you need to say that at some specific moment in history. So I have a history for it. I have a date, August 25th, 2012,
wow.
at the Leadership Business Women's Expo. Okay?
Yes.
And
that's right.
That is the date. And I believe that with all my heart. That's why I believe that you are a woman of destiny, because you are bringing together what I've been thinking in my head. That's marvelous when you know somebody. You think all these thoughts, but you don't see it happening. And then you look around, and there's LaLisa Williams. Oh,
mm-hmm.
she's doing it, what I'm thinking. That's marvelous. I'm telling you right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because, see, your thoughts are really conditions, and your conditions also belong to people, and people belong to their destinies. Amen. Okay. And you're a woman of destiny. Amen.
Well, you are speaking, you know, so much life, and we already have a date, you know, for next year, because next year, August,
next year is going to be thousands of women there. I tell you that right now.
Wow, I believe it, because we're already starting the work. We also have a breakfast coming up on October the 28th. It's going to be at Applebee's. I'll put that up on Facebook, and we'll start networking.
What date is that? What date is that?
It's going to be a Sunday morning, October the 28th. It's the last Sunday of October, because October is officially small. There's a week in October, as you well know, that is considered small business women's or something like that. No, small business, not women, but just small business week.
Also business. And that's October the 28th where?
The 28th is going to be at Applebee's in Union, New Jersey on Route 22.
Union, New Jersey.
Route 22.
Okay.
I will email you all the information.
Okay, Route 22.
Yeah,
Sunday. What time will it be, or you haven't designated the time yet?
Yes, no, they do it. Applebee's does it as a fundraising opportunity for community groups or any organizations. It's from 8 o'clock in the morning to 10 a.m., so it's just a two-hour event.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Yeah, the tickets will be $10, and what you purchase get for their money, they'll get two or three pancakes, a couple of sausages or scrambled eggs, like cheese. Coffee, and it's really nice.
And Applebee's does that as a community project, right?
Oh, yes, all over the country.
Isn't that wonderful?
Any Applebee's. Anyone, they have a website now. You just go to the website, click on the Applebee's you want, the date you want. They approve it. They send you flyers and tickets, and then you do your own thing. It's a fundraiser. It's really nice.
It's wonderful. Hooray for Applebee's. Now
yes.
I like Applebee's. I'll go there more.
Applebee's is very much into community. I went and talked to them. The reason they already had something called Dine to Donate, but they found that in Dine to Donate, people, the community doesn't get to, the organization doesn't get to raise as much money as it is that Applebee's makes out. So they came up with this one to give the organization more of a leg up in the fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that great?
Ew, more than great. It's going to make me go to Applebee's more because they're involved with the community. I think more businesses should that's called humanizing your business, okay? That's what I'm a psychologist, so I always get to the human level. I call that humanizing your business, okay? Because business can be very cold and aloof. You must, if you are in charge, you must humanize that process, and I think Applebee's has done that.
No, okay? Applebee's. A lot of people, and you can, you know, and you have the whole place to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
So you, I mean, when you do the, they call it, it's called the Flapjack fundraiser.
Okay.
Flapjack. So you can do whatever you want in those 2 hours. So yes, if you are definitely, let me know if you're planning to stop by, and I will definitely.
If I'm available, I definitely will, because one of the things
probably sell more tickets.
Yeah, because people, let me tell you,
people love you.
It's called
Dr. Grant. People, Dr. Grant, people, you are amazing. I just got to say, because we're not going to be on a whole lot longer, but Dr. Grant, I mean, you know, Dr. Grant, you are like, you're so powerful, but you're so sweetheart. You're so, I mean, you know, you mm-hmm. just, you are really amazing, and a lot of people need to hear you even in this hour. And I know you wrote for Essence for those 25 years, and,
yes.
you know, 18 million people read your articles and more, and cause the magazines are still around, and,
right.
you know, some people keep stuff, so people are still reading them. Amen.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's because my career is a result of a prayer. Remember I told you that story?
Wow.
I asked God to lead me into millions of my people to raise their consciousness. I said, show me the way, Lord, to get to millions of my people. I don't know how. Show me. I met Susan Taylor one time on NBC and Positively Black on television. And she called, and I told that story at her conference, and she told me about this new position that we don't have a black advice columnist in the United States of America, and we're going to start that idea. And you sound like the person to write the column. I said, you're absolutely right. She laughed, she laughed like you did, and I got the job. But it was the answer to a prayer that I didn't even know what I was praying for. I just described millions of people that I would like to raise their my people to raise their consciousness about their destiny, and not to fear mental health issues, and to go for therapy if you need it. That's what I wanted to do, and that's the answer to a prayer.
Well, you know what? I believe that you are needed for these women today. So I'm believing, and I'm sure Angela Vett would totally agree with me, that we are believing for, like you said.
I am too.
I think with a year, we should be able to get 5,000 women, because before I left, after I took a picture of you driving away in your car, what did I see right there but the Prudential Center? So I took a picture and said, okay, that's the site of this year. That's
you did what Dr. Norman Vincent Peale told you to do. You picturize.
I did. I saw Prudential was the minute you drove away. Okay. I was looking in that direction, and I got the picture on my phone. I'll post it on Facebook.
Listen to you saying picture. Dr. Peale said picturize so you can actualize.
Wow, I did. I took the picture, and I said, where I see next year we'll be at the Prudential Center. And there were
God
a couple of ladies standing there, and I said, ladies, I think we can do it. I was telling them that as long as we do it at a time period where there's no game going on there, because the Devils, they have their tournaments or whatever they do.
Right.
I don't think they're there in August, because I don't think hockey starts that early. I'm not sure.
That's right. God bless you. God bless your thoughts.
God bless you. So I said, we need Dr. Grant, I tell you. You, oh, my God, you are my, and funny. Okay, which, oh, my God, you are, but, I mean, but everything that you say is like, I can't miss that. You know, when you talked about he's buying what you're selling.
Well, that's true, yeah. And I said on the Michael Bazin show, stop giving away your pieces and parts to get a partner.
My goodness, when you say that.
Mm-hmm.
That stone, that can be like a whole week-long conference.
You better believe it. But I think humor is a way to get into your soul, because, you know, humor is actually, laughter is good for your health. Did you know that?
I did. I heard that.
Yeah, laughter is good for your health. There are a number of studies to show laughter therapy, it's called.
Well, you know what else, Dr. Grant? I did find out that some of the things that you are saying, I did learn this in my 30s when I finally decided to go to college. But a lot of it I learned from the biology classes. But some of those things, they were taught in my high school, but I dropped out of high school. Yeah, so.
But you dropped out of high school, but you didn't drop out of life.
I know, right? Here's what one lady said once. She was speaking at the Phi Theta Kappa event, because when I did go back to college, I managed to get straight A's somehow, and I ended up in Phi Theta Kappa, and we were down in Texas at a big Phi Theta Kappa conference, and that's the two-year honor society group. And so the lady spoke and said, I dropped out of high school, but I dropped back in, and I got a BDD. She started naming all these degrees.
Wow, I dropped back in. All right, I like that. I like that. But you're a good example of what
people have to.
What I always say, that You control your circumstances, or either your circumstances will control you.
Mm.
So therefore, you've taken control of your circumstances. You didn't let the dropout control your circumstances. You took charge. And that's what you should be telling your listeners all the time. Take charge of your circumstances. Don't let your circumstances take charge of you.
Well, I just so thank you and appreciate you. We only have a few minutes.
Okay, darling.
You are a blessing, and I'm going to be writing down all the things that you're telling me I should say. I think I got a whole platform now.
Yeah, you do. You do. You're on your way. There's no doubt about that. You know,
well,
no
I
doubt.
Done it without my awesome partner, Angela Vett Williams. God bless.
Isn't she a darling? Isn't she a darling, that Angela Vett Williams?
Yes. I tell you, God has really blessed her and her wonderful mate there, Mr. Gary.
Wasn't he a great guy? I had a nice conversation with him, you know?
Phenomenal. He is a blessing. They make a wonderful, wonderful couple.
You know what I said to, you know what I said to him? What's his name?
His name is Derek.
I said, Derek, you have good taste.
He does.
He's a marvelous guy.
He should know it. He was marvelous. You didn't get a chance to meet her children. They weren't there, but they're also marvelous. Her daughter, I've met her daughter many times. I don't think I've ever met her son, but I've heard her talk about him quite a bit.
Okay.
And we're going to have you meet some of these other people just so they can. Powered by you, my stepdaughter, who also is a guidance counselor at University High School.
Well, my daughter graduated from university,
Okay, okay.
Yeah, my daughter's a businesswoman in Florida. She's she owns Dream Dinners.
They had her come there and speak once. I got to let
She was president. My daughter was president of the National Association of Women Business Owners. Broward County in Florida. She was president, I think, in 2010.
I got to let my daughter know, so in case, I don't know if they had her there to either speak at one of their graduations or whatever they do, but I will tell her that Dr. Grant's daughter
graduated from University High School, and she's a businesswoman in Florida.
Yeah.
It's called dreamdinners.com. Your listeners can look it up. Dreamdinners.com. And it's in Sunrise, Florida.
We'll look that up, and when I get down that way, I'll be looking her up.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for inviting me this morning.
No, thank you, and we're going to hope you're going to come back again as we continue to put forth the vision and the picture, and you are, you know, phenomenal. We thank God for all of the speakers that were there, for everyone that was able to network, and that we're going to continue this movement. Again, everyone, if you were... And we thank you for staying on, listening to our conversation. I'm calling it now the summit after the summit. And so go out. Remember those seven ups.
Yes.
Take a stand. Have a plan. There's so many of them I'm going to try to remember. Now, I didn't get copies of what you handed out, Dr. Grant.
I'll send it to you. I definitely will send it to you.
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much. I didn't cause anybody to do a copy infringement. So I said, I better... Dr. Grant, no, I didn't get my copy.
I will send it to you, absolutely.
Everyone,
okay, darling.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. All right, goodbye, Dr. Grant.
Goodbye.
Anyone, if you want to contact us, definitely to contact us on Facebook. We are in the process, as you heard, putting together. You heard Dr. Grant say it. This is certainly something that must go forth, picturizing Dr. Peel. So Dr. Strasberg, all the wonderful people she talked about, look up that $16 billion plus small business budget. For some of you who thought we just did the conference because we like doing conferences, no, we're really trying to change a nation. There is the money. Like she said, the budget is, if President Obama's administration has put forth that budget, $16 billion for small businesses, small business people, we know how to vote. Because if we want to see that budget versus someone, because it doesn't mean that if someone else gets in there, they're going to put forth that budget. They're going to come with their own budget. And that doesn't mean that their budget will have $16 million towards small businesses. Because the small, not for nothing, so that you know, the small business budget is going to put African Americans, blacks, whatever you want to call us, is going to put us to work. It's going to put us to work. It's going to take us out of the levels of poverty and unemployment that we now know and have experienced for the past 4 years. There's not enough jobs to hire and bring down this unemployment rate that we're experiencing. It's not going to happen. So, you know, like my mother would say, get over it. We have to become business owners. It's just that simple. So we're bringing this message to people. There was a time when becoming a business owner was chic and cute.